Welcome to another exciting worldwide podcast episode of The Decline and Fall of America. I am Charles Factor, your worldwide podcasting host, broadcasting live from the studios in the great state of North Carolina. Today we have an interesting and fascinating subject for discussion. We're going to be talking about opioid addiction and drug overdose. We're going to be talking about how here in 2024, opioid overdose and addiction is at record high levels. That's according to new government statistics and data. I guess that doesn't come as a surprise to anyone in particular. If you're not in a coma, you're probably aware of the fact that almost 100,000 Americans are dropping dead every year from opioid and drug overdoses on the streets of America. This is particularly interesting because for the last 5 or 6 years, we've seen our misguided and corrupt politicians in many areas essentially legalize drugs. They've also created safe injection zones where people can shoot up with heroin and other drugs without the fear of getting arrested. We've seen them basically stop the enforcement of drugs at the border with Mexico, and with millions of tons of illegal drugs pouring over our Mexican border because we never finished to build the wall, and they just literally walk into our country, our undefended country, and the drugs come in and kill Americans at the rate of about 100,000 a year, and our two corrupt political parties do nothing about it. So that's where we're at. I mean, I don't think that's a surprise to you. And of course, if you're living in America, you've seen all the crime that comes from it, right? The not just the graffiti and the crap all over the streets and the drug addicts and the needles in the parks and all that stuff and the people passed out on the streets. If you live in a city, I'm sure you've seen this every day. But more than that, you've had your car broken into, you've had your bicycle stolen, you've basically been held up at gunpoint, maybe someone held a knife to you, they've taken your purse, your wallet, they've kicked in the doors of your house, they've stolen your stereo and your TV, and they basically taken your jewelry and taken your sense of security, and now people are trying to retreat to rural or suburban enclaves, gated communities with private security, oversized police forces, anything to get away from the scourge of drugs that is now everywhere in our city. So that's the current state of affairs in America, not exactly the hallmark of a healthy and prosperous and growing empire, is it? But why digress into reality, right? So many Americans just like to avoid it, or they say it's too depressing to talk about, so let's just ignore it. Let the party continue while the ship sinks. Well, okay. Today I'm going to read an article from the online source called Vox, V-O-X. You can find it online at vox.com, and you can read the article for yourself. This is a relatively new article, came out in 2024. The headline of the article is, "We have treatments for opioid addiction that work. So why is the problem getting worse?" That's the headline. I'll read the article, at least part of it. It's a long article, so I won't read the whole thing. I'll read part of it, and then we'll discuss it afterwards. You can come to your own conclusions. I have already come to mine. So here's the article. Quote, "Opioid addiction doesn't get as many headlines as it used to, but the crisis is as bad as ever. It doesn't have to be. The opioid crisis doesn't get as many headlines as it used to before the COVID-19, but the news remains stubbornly, shockingly bad. Decades into the deadliest drug overdose epidemic in American history, people are dying at higher rates than ever. Between 2017 and 2021, the number of overdose deaths involving opioids jumped from 47,600 to 80,411, many more Americans than are killed each year by guns or cars. The surge has been largely driven by powerful synthetics like fentanyl, an opioid 50 times more potent than heroin. Provisional data from the Center of Disease Control, that's the federal government, show nearly as many opioid-involved overdose deaths in 2022 at 79,770. Overdoses in the Black, American, Indian, and Latino communities have been rising even faster, widening the mortality gap between white people and people of color. In 2020, Black men aged 65 and older died of overdoses at 7 times the rate of white men in the same age range. Meanwhile, the number of Americans struggling with opioid addiction remains staggering. In 2022, 6.1 million people aged 12 and older have an opioid use disorder, according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administration and its most recent survey. And another 8.9 million reported misusing opioids within the past year. Looking at these statistics, one thinks back to something that an addiction specialist, Sarah Wakeman, once said when she was reporting on the opioid crisis 5 years ago. Quote, "Most people get better," Wakeman, who is the senior medical director for substance abuse disorder at Mass General Brigham, said. Quote, "What we don't ever talk about in the opioids conversation." Well, that's part of the article. And again, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that's the landscape, you know. And if you wonder why everyone associates drugs and crime, well, when, you know, people need money for drugs, drugs are not cheap. They're not free. So the women, to get money for drugs, prostitute themselves. Not all, but a lot of them do. If you know a female drug addict, whether it's pills or injection, odds are, scratch the surface and you'll find that she's selling her body for sex in one way or another. It's just the way it is. And the men aren't much better. How do they get money for drugs? Well, they steal, right? Or they deal drugs themselves. So a lot of the drug dealers are addicted to drugs. A lot of your burglars, your robbers, your car thieves, your bicycle thieves, they're addicted to drugs, and a lot of those are male. Again, like I said, they're not much better than the women. They have to get $200 or $300 each and every day, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on the drug, depending on their level of addiction, but they need hundreds of dollars every day to support their drug addiction habit. Of course, this is made easier when our broken and corrupt federal government gives them free housing and free medical care and free food and free cell phones and free heating, so that they have more money to spend on their drugs. Yeah, like that makes any sense. And you want to know why we have such a big drug problem? Why don't you just start there? But listen, you can make up your own mind about this. If you're living in America, you've seen this, you've felt it, you've paid for it, whether you know it or not. When you go to get medical care, you're paying for all those uninsured drug addicts that are just showing up at the emergency room and like they do every other week, different medical problems, trying to wean themselves off drugs, maybe under arrest while they're in the hospital for a crime that they committed, driving drunk, driving stoned, killing people, the usual. And you and I pay for that in the form of higher taxes, which supports Medicaid, and also in the form of higher taxes and higher insurance prices, because they're uninsured oftentimes when they show up. And if they do have insurance, it's you and I paying for it with Medicaid. So our insurance premiums, our medical bills, our taxes are higher because we're supporting tens of millions of junkies, junkies being people that are addicted to drugs. So there are as a cynical group of Americans, not me, don't count me in this group, but they say, well, so what if they die? So, okay, so we have 80,000 drug addicts dropping dead on the streets every day from drug or every year from drugs. So what's the big deal? That's a good thing, right? That's what they say. That's not what I say. They say, yeah, you know what? Good riddance. Maybe our crime rate will go down. Let them die. Let them be homeless. Let them live on the streets. I don't agree with that. Used to be the day where we would arrest them on the streets for vagrancy or trespassing or disorderly conduct. We would put them in prison or jail. And at least there, they would detox for a while. Some would, when they got out, go right back to committing crime and drug addiction. But a good proportion of them, after they sobered up in jail, well, they might basically go straight. They might actually get a job for once in their life. They might actually try to be good citizens. Maybe they find religion in prison. So the bottom line is we don't do that anymore. If you look at the streets of America, you want to know why there's 500,000 Americans now living homeless on the streets in tents, being given free food and everything else for free so that they can indulge in their drug habits. Well, it's because our government now tolerates it. Our government doesn't arrest them anymore. It doesn't tell them to move. Doesn't remove the tents from the sidewalks that block everyone from using the public sidewalks, right? So they live there, they crap there, they don't shower, they're dirty, they're filthy. A lot of them, the homeless, have criminal records that are very long. A lot of them are mentally ill. A lot of them have drug and alcohol issues. And a lot of them have been kicked out by their families because they've stolen from their families. That's the typical pattern, like it or not. And of course, a lot of them are mentally ill. and a lot of them are violent. But, you know, a lot of them do have drug addiction problems, and that's what we're talking about today. So the cynical Americans will say, well, good, let them die, right? Well, that's a good thing for society. They're just a detriment anyway. I don't subscribe to that theory. I think I made that clear leading into this. I'm not one of these cynical Americans that thinks you should just let people use drugs until they die or let people live on the street homeless until they die. I think we're better than that. Now, I am not saying that we need to be giving these people something for nothing. I don't think that's a good thing either. But what I am suggesting is that one way or another, we need to get these people off the streets. We need to stop giving these people free items because all they're going to do is use more of their money for drugs, right? I'd rather give working, sober people free health care than give non-working, drug-addicted people free health care. Why don't we just start there? But you know how this plays out, right? Our broken and corrupt political parties, which have created this mess, are going to do nothing to fix it. They won't even talk about it. They'll ignore it. They might make a speech here and there about how they're going to do something about it. But you can bet your last dollar, at the end of the day, our border with Mexico is going to be left wide open and undefended. And tons and millions of tons of drugs are just going to come across where they kill almost 100,000 Americans every year. That's how this plays out, right? You know it. You've seen it. A lot of Americans now, just like violence in our big cities, shootings in our big cities, they choose to ignore it. They say, oh, it's nothing we can do about it. Meanwhile, all the other countries have gun control and very little gun violence. All the other countries, if they have homeless, go walk through any city in Europe. They don't have homeless people on their sidewalks shooting up drugs and laying out their screaming profanities as people walk by. They don't tolerate that. America, in its infinite support for personal liberty, is destroying its empire. That's what I think. What do you think? Charles Factor, wishing you a great day.